is the cream of the cream of all the psalms in 150 psalms. It is said by the wise theologians and those that psalm, they call it something like the one with the golden hand-carved plaque, sort of trying to make it out. This is the ultimate and best psalm. It's not very long. It'd be well worth it to meditate on that a lot. If they say that, they must be right. What do you reckon? Okay. So everyone take a deep breath. Let it out. Scripture says that all that have breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm somewhere. Proverbs. The last word of Psalm 150. The last word. Pray. Psalms. In Proverbs chapter 8, a part of it, I'll read it to you. In the beginning, I was there. Jesus was there in the beginning. For God possessed me even before he created the universe. From eternity past, I was set in place before the world began. I was anointed from the beginning. I was there dancing and kicking and twirling, even from one mountain, even before one mountain had been sculpted or a hill was raised up. I was already there, dancing and rejoicing when he created the earth and the fields and even the first atom of dust. I was already there. This is from the Passion, mostly. I was there close to the Creator's side as his master artist. Daily I was before him. I was filled with delight and he was delighted in me. As I playfully rejoiced before him, dancing and laughing, so happy with what he had made, while finding my delight in the children of men. That's us. He was seeing us before we were even thought created at all, like in Adam and Eve, I think. But isn't that magnificent? So the Lord, the point of this talk is we're talking about the royal dance, the fellowship of the Trinity, the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. All one, all together. The creation's like a big dance. Yeah. And the divine dance, it's called. A Greek word called perichrosis, something like that. That one too, perichrosis, yeah. God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Yeshua. And he invites us intimately to come within their dance, you know, to come. I mean, I'm a kind of hold off, hold back type of guy, you know. God's pushing me all the time. You know, intimacy, what's that about? You know, the divine choreography. That's a word for dancing. Yeah. You remember, you know, David danced before bringing the ark into the city. The ark was at this guy's house. They left it there for a fair while. And David noticed he was getting seriously blessed big time, him and all his families. David thought, this is not good, get it in my place. So he sent the boys down to get it. 30,000 of them, it says, went down, get the ark, which was like, you know, here to Black Slender Way, probably, a few kilometres. And they decided, so he did make a bit of a mistake the first time, that's why he left the guy's place. They weren't treating the proper reverence with the way the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of the Lord, had to be. So what happened was he got his team and they decided to worship the Lord all the way into town. So every six steps, right, they built an altar, a little Barbie, put a bull on it, cow, had a sacrificial offering and danced and sang, smoke and fire, every six steps for a few kilometres. David had some serious sandals on, I reckon. And so, okay, and he brings it to town to bring it to the place. He put up a large tent and the ark was to go inside it. But when he brought it to town, his missus wasn't too impressed with the way he was carrying on. He didn't overdress at all. You probably know the story. He'd run around his undies. But I'll tell you what happened. He fed the people, what was it? Dates, cake, and something else, was it meat? Anyway, he fed the whole nation, the Bible says. One meal. Nobody in history, as far as I know, has fed a whole nation with one meal. But he danced all the way. I believe there's anointing on the dance that produces to feed a nation. What does this nation need? Well, no end of needs, is there? You with me? If you think about it. So, you know, we can pray for our governments, we can pray for our families, we can pray for sickness. Intense, you know, there's so much. There's an anointing on it. Adam spoke the other week, we're chatting, and he said he noticed something happened in the spirit when he did a bit of movement. He knew something was there, isn't that? It is. And that's true, I've seen it, you know, so that's why I'm talking about it. And God, James up there mentioned the song God's Great Dance Floor, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Chris Tomlin's music?
Yeah.
Something like that. Anyway, I saw it on YouTube, you know, and his 1,000 or 2 people, Chris playing God's Great Dance Floor, and all these people are leaping up and down all over the place. I think they're called a mosh pit, don't they? And I'm from the older generation where we did proper dancing, like the stomp and the twist and stuff like that. Have you done the stomp?
Yeah.
How's it going?
Bondi stomp.
Well, first, you think in terms... No, stomping at Maruba, are you? No. Little patty fan. Yeah, yeah, got it. So you kind of look like a chook. And you do this, and also you enjoy yourself, apparently. And anyway, and so, and I don't know whether a mosh pit type dancing, you know what they do, they jump up and down all over the place. Right, there's hundreds of them doing it, right? A whole place, really, but up the front there's hundreds. Is that in the Bible? Anybody? Answer, yes it is.
Amen.
Would you believe? Okay. There's a lady I come across, and she goes around Joshua Mills sometimes from America. Anyway, God gave her a diamond. It's worth. I was sitting next to a guy listening to her talk, preach, and he was a jeweller, just happened. He had a jewellery business, opals and things. And I said, what's that diamond worth? Because it fell in front of her. And he sat there and did calculations for a few minutes. He said, I reckon 12.5 million, 50 carat diamonds. The problem is it's hard to cash in on these because when you got a diamond, if you got the little thing you're looking at, there's tiny, tiny, tiny chips along the edges of the diamond. But in God's perfect diamonds, there isn't. And so the jeweler's valuing says, well, there's no chips on this, it must be an imitation. Anyway, I was sitting, she was probably talking at the far end here. I could see the light hitting it and sparkling. She made it into a ring. From here to up there, I could see her diamond sparkling. Why am I telling you that? Because she said in a prophecy, it's time to dance, it's time to war, to dance is to war. So, there's my list of variations here. So let me tell you what I've learned. I've learned that in the scriptures that was translated King James in 1611, they took these Greek and Hebrew words and translated them into a more simple word. And so, and also their culture, English culture, is a bit stiff upper lip. I don't know what they're like in King what's his name's times, but he probably had trouble dancing, he was so big anyway. But so they changed the words to praise from about a dozen different other words which were relating to dance. And so if you look up the, concordance, and different words have numbers and such forth. So I'm just going to run, I'm not going to run through the words, I can't even pronounce most of them in Hebrew, but this is what they mean. And so, so like this one's chill, C-H-I-Y-L, 2342, right? So you can look it up, sort of thing. Means to twist or twirl in a circular manner. Another one, dance, round dancing. So it's like dancing in a circle with a bunch of people, maybe, dancing in the rounds. I've done it. And you could have like a grapevine thing where you go in and out people to music and sort of, you know, hold their hands, just in their sense or stuff like that. But you're dancing before the Lord, remember, not at your local youth dance, you know. Dancing with a company of dancers, another one. To leap and spring, that's probably the mosh pit one. In Song of Songs 2:8, right. To move in a circle, to march in a sacred procession. March in a sacred procession. So I've been in churches. We were in this church down Blacktown one time, and my wife and the kids were little then. My wife said, the kids want to go to the toilet. So she grabs the kids. We're in a little two-room double schoolroom. So she grabs a couple of the kids and takes off to the toilets up the yard somewhere at the school. And she comes back, and no one's there. Everyone's gone. And she's right panicking. Sort of thing. And what the pastor did is, let's go on a holy march or something. And he took the crowd, and we all marched some other direction around the place. But I just thought it was so funny. But in another church I was at, we often did a triumphant march kind of thing. And we'd have flags and poles and different things, drums, mobile drums. And so we'd march to certain songs or around in uniform manner and stuff, but it was all worshipping God. I think in Paul to the Romans, he's talking about Jesus leads us in the triumph. Okay, so but Paul was in Rome, and he had seen when a great army general had a major victory. There's a dozen criteria as to what he qualifies for a procession. It has to be a super victory, bring back the kings and the wealth, then overcome a lot of people. So they had this procession with the Roman priests and lady priestesses. Something about a little girl with a white calf. It talks about the perfume of victory. Is it? Is the perfume of victory to the victors? But they also brought the prisoners from the army of the other opposition, and they were going to be done in by the end of the day. So the perfumes that the priestesses threw around wasn't sweet to them. And it went on. But I think he was sort of referring to that when he was talking about it anyway. So that's a triumphant march, or a triumphant dance, or whirl around, to spring and stomp, to dance, to stamp. Oh, stamp, okay. To leap and skip, to spring and leap, to hop. So there you go, all these sort of words. Spin around under the influence of emotion. There you go. I had that once. To jump for joy, triumphantly. Right, so that's, and here's a few Greek ones. Oh, worship also is another word translated. It means to bow down, to kneel, to bless, to praise, to celebrate. But in the Bible, they just put worship, or the other word, praise. You know, well, it's a bit of a revelation when you see it, I thought. Here's one. This is a winner. This is the money one. In Psalm 37:7, in the English, it says, wait on the Lord. It says, wait on the Lord. Okay? It says, wait on the Lord. But in another translation, it says, come and dance and be entwined with me.
Come on.
Like that. Psalm 37:7. I don't know which translation. Someone pass it on to me. Come and dance and be entwined with me. It's a little bit different than waiting on the Lord, sitting on a chair going to sleep, you know.
Come on.
So what do you reckon? Put on the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. You heard that one?
Yeah.
Well, what's a spirit of heaviness? It's a spirit.
Yeah.
Depression, those sort of things, melancholicness.
Anxiety.
Yeah, all that anxiety. That's it, sorry. Yeah, so put on a garment of praise. In other words, you're in your depression, enjoying your pity party kind of thing. You step out and you say, I'm praising God, you know? I'm moving around.
Yeah.
And it'll break it. The devil hates that.
Yeah.
Come on.
But if you move around, he even more hates it.
Yeah.
And if you want to take on a bit of stomping,
come on.
It hurts him.
Come on. Yeah. Come on. Come on.
Give the devil a good stomp. I used to think, devil, you know. But I realised he really is vicious and he attacks you and he takes your family out and takes you down in lots of ways. And I started to learn that you can come against him.
Yeah.
And you use your imagination a lot.
Yeah. Awesome.
Cast down every high thought and imagination and puts yourself against the word of God. We
come
heard
on.
That one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cast down every high thought and imagination that's against the word of God.
Yeah.
So I was praying for somebody recently and it was like they had these barriers around them, like castle walls. Mm. And she was the top in the top thing, but the whole hill was surrounded by multiple walls, all the locked away, shut off. You know? And so I thought, I'm going to pray against this. So I started picturing a bulldozer.
Come on.
A really sizable one. The belts right through all these walls and start smashing it. And I did it multiple times over multiple days.
Come on.
And big things happen.
Come on.
You know, and you think, how's that sound? A bit weird, a bit silly, but... So anyway, let me see here. Oh, can we give it for how am I going, all right?
Amen.
There's a little quote here from Ruth Heflin. You heard of her?
Yes.
And I cut it out and stuck in my book here. This is part of it here. She says, "You dance. Your dance is more powerful than anyone can comprehend. Your uplifted hands is more than you can perceive. Waving your hand above the Lord, waving your hand before the Lord can be more powerful than anyone might think. Strike the floor boldly with your feet for a complete victory of the Lord."
Yeah.
Now, I remember reading her book, and she had a bunch of people, famous preacher. God sent her to leaders of nations and kings and stuff. And she had her own church or big prayer group or something. And the ladies all danced and had a great old time, but she wouldn't dance. And God kept saying, "I want you to dance." And she'd go, "Yes, I heard that." Yeah. So bit by bit, God says, "Move your right foot, you know, tap it a bit." It was like that, drawing blood, bit by bit. Bit by bit. I relate to that. I took years moving. And so what... not funny, true. And so bit by bit, she started to push against her own, what is it, humility and feelings. Yeah, what were they thinking of me? Yeah. So anyway, then she says, moving in the realm of... Oh, okay, did I finish that? Okay. "So don't worry if others do not understand. You have prophetic authority to do what God has revealed to you, and you will find that as you do it, God's glory will release beyond anything you have ever known before. You may be the most unlikely person to be used of God, but if you simply in obedience, you will quickly bypass others and you move into the realms of seeing, and nothing will be impossible to you in the area of ministry." So I've had a couple of trips to heaven. It's Well, my notes are pretty desperate. Here's my notes. Where are we? Okay. So, a few times. One time, my friend rang me up and said, "Well, you say this prayer and then you just ask God to let you come to heaven and have a look around." I said, "Oh, okay." So I said the prayer straight away. And I just it's like a bit of material being ripped apart a bit. It wasn't like a... So I stepped through, and next thing I was in this place and there's angels everywhere and it was all awesome. I freaked out, to tell you the truth. Anyway, I tried it again another day. I didn't freak out so quickly. And the angel, grabbed me and took me somewhere and put a new set of clothes on me.
Yeah.
Now, that's a Joshua the high priest, you know, he came between the Lord or the...
Yeah, come on.
and he was given a new set of clothes and that. So I had this, I don't know if you ever seen the movie Gandhi, and his opposition fellow was bad India, was Nehru. Nehru is the Prime Minister, and he wore this particular suit, they now call a Nehru suit, and it's a three-quarter coat. It's sort of a cotton suit, but a three-quarter coat and trousers and a little funny cap. And that's what I had on. Only his was in grey. Mine was in bright white with golden epaulettes and golden buttons. Oh. I mean, I think God gives you these visions because you'll know it's absolutely God and not you.
Yeah.
Who would have thought it would dress like that? Anyway, sort of thing. But you know what I mean? And so God's doing things. On another occasion, I was in heaven and I was at this place and there was these three poles with flag on top of each one. The base, they came, were on angles and they came down to one base. Three poles came to one base, flags on top. And Jesus is there. He said, let's have a dance. So me and Jesus, the main one, you know. The real one, that's the one. He says, let's have a dance. I said, I'm a bloke, mate. I don't know. You do now, he says. And so he starts doing this sort of rock and roll, jiving stuff.
Stomping.
Yeah, no, stomping. That's just for the devil. And truly, this is kind of weird. And we're doing this dance, you know. But Jesus has got a few steps I hadn't seen before. And so, you know, if you don't see rock and roll, you spin the girl in and you roll her out and she goes on your legs and throw her the rock and all that. I haven't tried it, but anyway, it sounds good. Don't smile at me like that. And so Jesus does his spin, and he spins out. He doesn't let go of my hand, but my arm grew about a few hundred miles long, and so did his. And he's out leaping over planets, and then he rolls back in again. Unusual sort of dance. I haven't been able to do it since, but and stuff like that. I'm like, all right, where am I? What's going on here? And what's he saying anyway? I don't know if he's saying anything. He's just having fun.
Come on.
I don't know. Okay. Is he like that? Okay. So what I'm saying is, you rest in the Lord. And at one time, angels came and took me for a ride. Like, they pulled up next to me, these four angels. They call them chariots, I think, or the lady. Anyway, she said, these chariots are coming. So these four angels, I'm looking at them, I could see them. They said, get in. I said, get in what? He said, get in the middle of us. Oh, okay. And then we all took off like, you know, ever seen those ads with cars with no body on them, just the engine and the seats and steering wheel, that sort of thing. It was like that. So we were flying all over the world and ended in some country and then went up and down the streets. I knew where we were. I hadn't been there before, but I knew. Anyway, heavenly things. They're available, but you've got to break through, I think, on some of these. But if you want to see angels, it would be good. You know, there's angels around here today. I could feel them when... I went to praising there. And it's all by faith. Everything's by faith, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
Is that right? So if you want to see angels, you see them by faith.
Yeah.
That's hard. You use your mouth. I see angels all the time. You heard that said before?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you do. You just keep quoting, I see angels all the time. Sooner or later, you'll be seeing angels.
Yeah.
You know, you just keep saying. It's just like praying for healing, hurt your leg. Boy's stripes, I'm healed, boy's stripes, I'm healed, boy's stripes. Yeah. One of my friends, she pretty well broke her ankle, she thinks. But she's confessing immediately. And within half an hour, her leg was totally healed again, you know. So just by confessing those words. Where is that one? Psalm 149 talks about praising. Can I read that to you? Okay. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praises in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them praise his name with the dance. That's a good one. Let them sing praises to him with timbrels and harp. Timbrels are tambourines, you know. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the humble with salvation. So, you know, humbling, you know, moving out of yourself, humbling, he will beautify you, humbling. So dancing to me, I'm sure that's a humbling would fit exactly from where I came from. Okay, so it's like stepping out and doing things you may not have been used to. Some of you flamboyant, sanguine types have no trouble with all this. But the phlegmatics and the melancholics or something, you know, they've got to know, why am I doing this? You know? Let the saints be joyful in glory, let them sing aloud. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. The high praises of God is not what I've been talking about up till now. High praises of God is a new level of praise. It's a new level of praise. And I first come across it, I was reading this book by Judson Cornwell, the famous old preacher in the old days. He came to Sydney. And my friend said when he walked down the shops, the people fell over or went away or spread out when he came through. He had this incredible anointing, apparently. But in his church somewhere in America, he was the church in that service went to a high praise place. They're praising worship, and they just got lifted up. And all of a sudden, it was like a huge explosion. For 50 miles around, people fell down under the anointing.
Wow.
50 miles around. Not only that, they had another church in South America at the same time. The same thing happened with them as well. Awesome. Who wants to know about the high praises? Right. So I'm just... And look what happens. And a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind the kings with chains. The kings are demonic strongholds, demonic. To bind the kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, and to execute the written judgments. This honour have all the saints. That's us. We got the honour of flopping their heads off. The written judgments are like from the Ancient of Days, the courtrooms of heaven, the judgments are made. And the judgment is, enough is enough.
Yeah.
That king is out, kind of thing. As I understand it, anyway. So, and with the high praises, you're moving into a realms where miracles happen a lot. The atmosphere is full of, charged with. You with me?
Yeah.
I had somewhere a bit of a definition about high praises. What has it look like? Okay. So I was taught that we go into praise and your worship, give it your all, sing your hardest, dance around, everything. But somewhere you reach a point where God says, that's great, I anoint you right now, go and do battle. So you go up for praise and come down for warfare, and you keep going up for praise and down for warfare a number of times, and you're knocking out stuff. You don't even know what's going on. God is doing it across the world or something. Sometimes we would pray for a nation or a government issue or something, and a few months later you'd see a change happen. And when I saw it multiple times, I realised God's timing isn't our timing, but he does stuff. You know, you might pray for something 3 years ago, and you might have got a prophecy 10 years ago, and it's just started happening. Anything can. Right, okay. Oh, what's it look like? Well, there's dancing, movement. Movement's important. Put your hands up in the air like this. Everyone, hands up. That one over there, please, hands up. Please. Move them around, left and right. This can be a wave offering. Wave offering.
Wow.
The Hebrew people, Israelis, way back in the first fruits, I think when it came in, the first crops, see, they didn't have Woolworths down the street. They had to rely on what they grew.
Wow.
And so forth. So the first crops after winter came in was barley. And wheat came in 6 weeks later. But with the barley, they could make bread and stuff like that. So they had a thank you off. They had a festival of first fruits where they would do all sorts of things, and one of them was a wave offering. So the ladies would get handfuls of barley grass. So barley's like wheat, there's a grass and there's a stem and there's a seed. So they get the grass and they have a weight offering with the or they make barley grass baskets and fruit in it or something, and offerings and stuff. So there's but a wave offering, but it's still, it's movement, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
So, you know, I went to those churches where you just do this and do all the right things, stand up, sit down, kneel down. Say in Latin, Catholic one, we should talk in Latin. Dominus Vobiscum, stuff like that. I studied Latin at school, failed miserably. Anyway, just terrible. So I learned a lot of Roman history. Okay, so there's lots of dancing. You go up in worship, you come down in warfare. And when you do warfare, it's not sweet singing, it's violent, devil or smash you in the face sort of stuff, you know. And you get so, you could be shouting, clapping, dancing, praising, all sorts of motions of movement, you know. So I'm just saying, where's my list of what to do? Oh, number two, here we are, getting there. So how to put this application in your own family. I was in this church in the past that says, oh, look, there's this, I've figured this out. This is incredible, you know, just talking all about it. And where's that scripture? I've got it here somewhere. Like I've got everything organised. Oh, yeah, that's it. So when the Hebrews come to the promised land, Canaan, they're all allocated, different tribes are allocated different lands, okay? The two small tribes were Judah and Simeon. And Judah means praise, but also means dance. And Simeon means understanding, light bearer. He's the wise one, the tribe of Simeon. So a light bearer, perceiver, understanding. So Judah said to Simeon, the two tribes, let's do it all together. We're the smallest. We'll go together, go up your area, clean out the Canaanites, then go to your area and clean up Canaanites. Okay? So Simeon and Judah. Judah means praise and dance. And God always sent the praises in first. So Levitical priests into battles and things. They're walking along, leading the battle with clapping and dancing, you know. Vicious. And so praise with dance. Dance with understanding. Went in and God helped them clean up the whole issue. There's quite a few different scriptures of different battles where God did that. So when you join, when you're praying for something, let's say your child's sick, so you're praying for your child. You understand what the problem is. He's sick. You know how to pray. You know how to jig around a bit and do a dance. So if you joined, it's just like fasting is something, praying is something, dancing is something. Each has power. Each has power. So when you join the dance with understanding, you will get major breakthroughs. Amen. So the pastor said, I'm going to try this out. So she goes home. Her son had got qualifications but couldn't get a job. And he'd been trying for months and months. I'll dance for my son. So she danced around the living room, praying for the son to get a job. Within 3 days, he had a number of offers and had choices and got a job. That quick. And after that, I'd seen it happen a few more times. I remember a lady came up from way up the coast, came down to our prayer group, and we had a dirty old floor of a hall, and then we brought our own carpet. It was about 6 foot square or something. So this lady came down, and she just sat on the carpet. She was pretty crook, you know, waist and legs and all that. So, and these little girls were there with us and started dancing around the carpet, mucking around. And the pastor said, we should take notice of what children are doing. They pick it up in the spirit. So we're all dancing around this lady on the carpet. Wow. Next thing, she got up and joined us, totally healed. She'd been crook for ages. I'm just saying. And another lady I know, Elsa, she's another one. She came a long distance. She had bad issues with her back. She came down to dance with the other people and she got healed. So I'm just saying there's high power in that. And if you want breakthroughs on things that aren't yet happening, you just try dancing. So I'm getting signals from the clock. And so I thought that's pretty powerful. And in a church, the more you let loose, the more God will let loose.
Come on. No more chairs.
Let loose.
And there's lots of... I'll be quick. There's got lots of scriptures. Here's one, the prodigal son, right?
Come on.
Come across that one. I want to. So the son comes home. The father's pretty excited. And so he gives him the cloak and the ring and the sandals. Says, let's have a party. So he gets a party going, music and dancing and everything, celebrating. The other son wanders in later on. And he says, what's going on? I hear all this singing and dancing and music, you know. He said, the son came home. And the son's having a major whinge. So dad's having a dance party. But the son is having his own little song and dance, really, come to think of it. I thought it was funny anyway. Okay. let's go on. Herod, birthday celebration. And I think it's his niece, was it? Salome did a dance. This is an evil dance, really. But nevertheless, it's in the Bible for a reason. The king was there and he was so impressed with her cute dancy-wancy that he said, I'll give you whatever you want, you know. And her mother said she had an issue with John the Baptist, who happened to be in jail now. And the mum said, tell him you want John the Baptist's head. So the king actually didn't mind John the Baptist, but he did what he promised. Dancing before the king is what I'm getting at. If you read what God will do when you dance before him, you know, it's like an audience of one kind of thing, you and them. It's not what everyone else thinks. So Elijah called down fire. He was mimicking the prophets of Baal trying to get something to happen. He was mimicking. What were they doing? They were dancing around and saying stuff. So Elijah was dancing around saying stuff. He was dancing, baby. What's this? Jeremiah. And then shall the virgins rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, will comfort them, and they will make rejoice rather than sorrow. So it's Jeremiah prophesying the dance come. So I think we've covered enough there.